and welcome to the latest edition of Loaded Balls, the coaching series. I'm delighted to be joined by Michael Gerard-Dockery. Michael has created the booklet, the Personalised Gaelic Games booklet, Live, Learn, Love Gaelic Games. As you see from the YouTube station here that we're on, we've both been sunning ourselves. I put the Irishman white t-shirt on just to emphasize the farmer's tan. But Michael, thank you so much for coming on. You know, whenever we were speaking on that there, it was evident how enthusiastic you were about coaching and setting up a pathway, not only for kids to understand a wee bit more about Gaelic Games, but also coaches and clubs as well. How did you come up with the idea? Where did it come out of? And, you know, where do you see it going then?
John, no, just firstly, thanks for having me on. I suppose it's hard to follow in the footsteps of Kevin Maltzer last week. A bit of a comment down for a lot of your followers there, I'm sure. But hopefully you can share a few wee nuggets there, as indeed I found from your own podcast there over the past few months. So absolute pleasure to be on. Thank you. I suppose, John, this started over a year ago, way before the last lockdown, believe it or not. When the club had approached me about putting a pathway together, and I dare say there's been many a man for their sins and other clubs there who were tasked with something similar. With a lot of numbers in the club at the minute, and something we wouldn't have previously. A decade ago, I'd say the numbers of under 8s we'll have in the club this year would have been the numbers we had an under 18 the whole way down in total. So we've sort of exploded. And now we're looking at, I suppose, put a bit more structure to the actual coaching setups. We have a lot of willing parents there, which is fantastic. And again, a lot of enthusiastic coaches. But we just felt that they were crying out for a wee bit more guidance. And it's our duty as a club, I suppose, to help them as best as possible. So the one condition I gave the club was that I had no problem at all working on a pathway, but that I wanted their backing and implementing it. Because I'm not one just for paperwork. My background as a primary school teacher also, as much as I like my plan to be thorough, it's more how it comes across in the classroom and that. I wouldn't say my paperwork would be my strong point. I'd say it's more of my relationship with the kids in the class, and where I like things to be structured and organized and always have an end product, as opposed to just planning for the sake of planning. Always like to have the individual at the centre of everything we do. So I spent the guts of, God, it must have been 6, 7, 8 months and lockdown sort of helped in that regard, scanning through every pathway I could get my hands on. To be honest with you, I contacted as many clubs, as many coaching officers as I could, and at every pathway from the likes of Cleavey to O'Loughlin Gales and Kilkenny, a lot of county ones, the Down GA one, for example. I love the terrace pathway. Leinster's terrace pathway was absolutely fantastic, and I would have contacted, you know, certain individuals who would have put these pathways together and asked them for basically any feedback they found of things that were working for them, and put our own pathway together over that course of 6, 7 months. I wasn't just happy to hand it over to the club, so once the pathways finished up, I wanted to share with lads who I really look up to, your Colm Nallys, your Philip Kerrs, your Stevie Poachers, Paul Gallagher, even Mick Bowen there. And these are all lads over the course of maybe 5, 6 years that always sort of offered at the end of the course, put their email address up on that, and are probably hoping that their inbox isn't full up by the time they get home. I, unfortunately, was one of those ones who got straight home on the laptop, you know. So I would have taken a few days after every coaching workshop and jotted down a few points to come back and hit them for a wee taster of their minds and what was happening. And thankfully, and I have to say, I'm not sure there'd be many other sports out there, John, where, I mean, people at the very, very highest level are willing to talk to an unknown. And I'm not speaking ill of myself or talking myself down there, but I literally could have been anyone. Mm-hmm. And they were sharing best practices, giving up their time. I mean, sometimes late at night, these lads were emailing me back or filtering through different resources and that there. And to me, that's something that's pretty unique, their own game. These lads at the top level are so willing and humbling to help anybody. And likewise, I was only so glad to be able to, I suppose, pass on the pathway to those lads, not just for their approval, but also to say, look, if there's any other clubs out there that you feel these could help out, or within your own clubs, if they can make any difference. It's not going to be the same sort of level that you lads are at, but if it helps anyone there that's taught me, by all means, you know, share away. And when I brought them to the club then, I said to the club, look, here's your pathway. The club, we're over the moon with it, but their big question was, right, so what's your plan in terms of implementation? Mm-hmm. So we've went through a few different steps. We've got basically a coach and the coaches group set up, another death by WhatsApp group, of course, but it's been valuable. Just before we returned to play there, maybe a month ago, we actually, believe it or not, had 64 coaches from the club on a webinar with myself, all buying into the booklets were part of that, obviously, but also buying into the pathways and reading through the pathways and doing their own youth groups. So what I asked from every group was, John, that they would basically choose one PDC coach. I'd be a massive believer in Philip Kerr's work there and having a personal development coach there, where an individual would home in completely on the coaching. This wouldn't necessarily be the head coach or the manager of the team, but someone who's there to look to pull players aside or groups of players aside and take that wee bit of one-on-one time or that one-on-two-three time. So I felt it was better that the coach one individual from each of these year groups and go through the pathway in a wee bit more detail with them. And we, on a weekly basis then, in a wee WhatsApp group, and again, this is a teaching head on me, we post in a 2 stars and a wish. So they would jot in 2 areas of the pathway that they worked on and discuss how that went, and you're hoping pretty positive. And then the last one would be a wish. So it would be an area of the pathway, or indeed another area, a completely other area that came up. And that wish would basically, it would dictate what then we would work on in our coaching the coaches session at the end of that month. So the booklets then are to back that up. So that way I feel we're supporting the coaches, that coach can feed that back to the group. But for me, the big missing player in this was the parents and the players, of course. So in our club there, as I say, we've a lot of parents who are willing to get involved, and that's came through a lot of hard work, a lot of community work, a lot of family events and that there. But with parents who still feel very standoffish and a wee bit overwhelmed when it comes to the actual skill set of things and the playing set of things. And with the booklets there, I'm trying to make parents feel as valued and I suppose as welcomed as possible in the, not only my own club there, but in the world of Gaelic games. I would say the last group I had there, minors who finished last year, at least 70-80% of those lads and their families would have no GA background whatsoever. Indeed, our captain, when I brought him to Croke Park at 15, was asking what song that was when the national anthem, when everyone's standing up for the national anthem before throwing, you know. And that just opened me up on so much, but also lads there, when we brought them down the field with 2 cracking years, the field of that group, and believe it or not, one of them running this and says, Jesus, did you see the size of that dog in the field out there? That was a calf, you know, as a 14-year-old lad, like, you know. So for me, I just saw, I mean, it shocked me because I'm very lucky, you know. My father is massive in the games. Now, I was a late enough starter compared to kids and I at about 10 years of age, but he similarly did a lot of parents and road club there. Just gradually got involved bit by bit. He wanted to help out and help out his own sons. I got that bit more involved, and for me, I looked at others and said, Rick, how can we help them? So with the booklets there, John, it's covering a hell of a lot of those areas that I spoke about. Initially, the start off basically creating an identity between the player and the club, where the player will write down the name of their club. They'll colour in a wee jersey there of the club colours. They'll then draw wee pictures of their coaches. And we actually spoke about this last week, that it would amaze you the amount of parents who couldn't tell you the names of the people who are coaching their children. And I'm talking 4 and 5 year old kids here even. And they're dropping them off here for maybe an hour a lot of the time. And without even knowing their names, never mind questioning, as I said, you know, maybe their access, ANI credentials or that there. And for me, it's a crazy sort of situation. And I just think, again, it's a light wee way there where straight away there's a conversation being sparked at home where the kids can have a conversation with parents. That, you know, there's Michael Jarrett there, there's Ricky, there's Patrick. And again, the kids from the only under five group, they're going home and drawing them this week up with a wee session there yesterday morning. And that's going to be the wee sheet they're working on this weekend, with two wee tasks, and that's one of them. So we'd have a wee laugh next week when we see how they've coloured them in and how they've drawn my beard, and they're going to need to colour me in a wee bit more red, so they are for next week too. I may get text in the WhatsApp group and tell them to colour me in a wee bit more red. But again, that sparks a conversation between a 4 and 5 year old with their coaches straight away, where it can be a wee bit daunting, you know, these new adults in their lives. And again, a lot of kids have been sort of locked away for the best part of a year here too, John, you know, so they are going to be a wee bit apprehensive around other adults, and it's a wee bit overwhelming. I mean, we've 6 coaches helping us out this year, which is phenomenal, most of which, again, came from no GA background. I've one fellow there who has literally 0 GA background, but in his wee group and his station, he actually drives a remote-controlled car, and the kids are, it's a bit like tag, when he's chasing the kids with a remote-controlled car, and it just shows you, also, it's a kid's favourite game, with seven wee stations up there, and I can't wait to get to his station, and after he crashes into all the kids, whatever kids the last one's bad, and he finally hands over the remote control and gives the winner a goal, so he does. But that to me was just another way of showing everyone, no matter what background you have, can get involved. See if you can encourage a kid. See if you can say, well done. See if you see a kid a wee bit upset and can share a conversation with them. You can help. You have a role to play. You have a hell of a role to play, because tell you what, you'll be doing a better role than someone who does have a strong background in football or hurling, and they're barking at the check, mm-hmm. or they're falling out with a kid or putting pressure on their wee shoulders because they can't handle the tall ball at 4 or 5 years of age. You know, John, so for me, I'd rather surround kids with quality people as opposed to quality GA people or people in the club who would have strong GA backgrounds. I look at the individual as opposed to what sort of coaching ability you have, or how many webinars did you watch over the past few months, what level did you play at. I look for individuals, and within our own coaching group, we're very, very lucky. Myself with a classroom assistant, with a girl that works in childcare, with a social worker, with a vice principal of the school, and then my own father. And to me, that is the core group. If I could ask for a better dream team than that, you'd be hard pushed. I'm of a great weekend of different backgrounds and different ways, but that all came from people feeling valued. And again, with the booklets there, it's about putting the kids at the center of things and everybody feeling valued, John. As the kids grow on that wee connection, they then move on to a section where they're looking at friendships. So they're looking at things like certain wee boxes that have words, that wee buzzwords that they would associate with a good friend. So it's getting them thinking straight away, right, what sort of teammate would I like to be? What sort of people here would I like? And again, they'll be having a conversation at the bottom of that page. It basically sparks a conversation at home then between the parent and the child, where they're drawing a wee picture of 3 friends they've made. And the parent all of a sudden now knows who Sean is, and maybe Julie is, and Peter. And they're asking a wee bit about them and maybe what school to go to. And why were they a good friend today? Ah, mummy, he passed the ball to me, so he did. Or, ah, geez, you know, a fellow or so did at one point to help me out. I mean, see them conversations, John. Mm-hmm. the Park doesn't need to know a million things about Gaelic football or hurling. I mean, that's huge. And see, for a change, knowing their parents take an interest in their new wee friends in this group, it's absolutely massive. And I mean, I'm not sure about yourself, but I suppose to see it for a bit from the teaching side of things too, that the whole communication, laying there, and I'm not talking about every parent out there, but I mean, communication between children and families, parents, and even indeed with one another has certainly been on the wane for the best part of a decade. I mean, kids are more comfortable sitting on a gaming chair with the headphones on, blabbing out the word, and being submerged in that with strangers, even their friends at times, and it's just totally immersed in the game, even with social media there, you know, at times kids are so used to putting a persona, I suppose, up front for social media, as opposed to having real conversations with their friends in real life. And with me, I sort of want to go back to those core sort of values. I was absolutely blessed from my own parents. I mean, every day you came home from school, first question you're asked was, what did you learn today? Did you enjoy it? What did you like to learn tomorrow? And the same, when you went to bed, I do the same with my young two boys there. I mean, they're 3 and 5. There won't be a night to go to bed without myself and my wife asking, well, that's what was your favourite thing you did today? What are you looking forward to tomorrow? What special thing could we do at the weekend? And, you know, I can't speak for every single family there, John, but I know there's a hell of a lot of kids there, and it's a much easier life to maybe have them sit in their rooms working away on the computer systems and that than taking an actual proper bit of quality time where you're not just asking a question for the sake of it, that you're genuinely interested in their answers and caring about it. And if these booklets can create more questions about Gaelic games where the child knows that they're actually really interested in what they're talking about, to me, that is massive. And we're doing a hell of a lot more than just encouraging parents.
Is it the same, like Jared, do you think that whenever looking through the booklets and that there,
yeah,
you're trying to get the identity straight away with the club, that the child identifies with the club, and then the parents then identify with the club, and it's that community feel then? And so is that the core, the fundamental thing that you've tried to do?
That's a nail on the head, Joe. That's the absolute nail on the head. Feelings would be massive throughout the booklet. So the section there where as simple as a 4 and 5 year old, there's 4 emojis at the back, and the parent writes down the date, and the child circles, as opposed to smiley face or, you know, a wee average face of that there. And there's 3 wee questions at the top. At the under 7 booklet level, the questions get a wee bit more detailed. And it's as simple as, what did you enjoy today? What was your favourite game? And how did you feel about the session? And I mean, straight away, I can only think of myself as a coach. I would love a parent to be able to me at that point to turn around, positively or negatively, to be able to feedback to me and as a private message, or indeed, you know, if they want to speak to the other parents or to, especially for something positive, and type in their message and say, God, you know, our John had a tough wee day today, you know, maybe he didn't notice, but he felt he didn't get a lot of passes the ball, that the people didn't really pass to him. I mean, see me rather than thinking that, you know, John's just not enjoying the session, that maybe it's me, or, you know, maybe, you know, our club just isn't for John, or, you know, this, you know, it's real struggle here for John to get there. Straight away, I can have a conversation. I can let the other coaches know, look, I was chatting to Maura there, just saying that John just felt there, he wasn't getting as much of the ball as instead of there last week. Senior week groups, come on, make sure this time that John maybe starts the wee game, or we'll start him with the ball. And that parent straight away, you picture John, that parent then knowing that you've cared about what they've said. Straight away they know, you know what, this isn't just a one-way street here. They actually are here for my son or my daughter. They're not just here looking after their elite players or their high flyers. They'll support any child here. And this is someone I only got to know maybe 2 weeks ago, but I'm valued here. And that's what it's about, John. Everyone feeling valued in the new car.
Do you have set goals then for each age group?
I do.
Like whenever, so this pathway, that you've developed then. It's progressing then. What's the goals between each age group? Like, is it participation, or is it you're trying to get the numbers up, or you're trying to get the parents involved? And what's the end goal then for, obviously, from minors to seniors then?
Yeah, I suppose for me as a coach, I always base my coaching on that, what you won, not what silverware you took home. It was always on how many players can you retain the whole way through. And I'm not even talking in terms of being senior footballers or senior hurlers or camogues. I'm talking about staying involved in your club, because when I see an individual there, I look at the person. I look at the whole person as opposed to a footballer, a camogue, a hurler. And I've lads and all coached who wouldn't have been blessed in terms of skill. Athletically, wouldn't have been the strongest. But you know what? For morale, if nothing else, they were brilliant people. The crack they brought, the drive they brought, what they brought to the table. And you know, I know some of those lads may be stats men for the club in future years. They may be secretaries. They could end up being chairman for the club. But for me, more importantly, John, I suppose it comes from my own sort of background in the club. I just want our kids in West Belfast involved in daily games. I've seen it firsthand just how easy it is to get drawn in the other things. And we have to look like an attractive other option. We have to compete with some tough options out there. And especially when you're talking to lads and ladies whose parents aren't from an actively, you know, known GA background, for want of a better word, you have to work doubly hard, because you know the only real substance they're getting around the GA environment is from yourself and your fellow coaches. So the further we get on, the more personal we really had to make it with our lads, you know, where you were on the phone with them every other day, and you really got to know them in a deep personal level. And I suppose we're finishing up with my wee minor group there, who I had from under 8, under 9. I actually taught a lot of them in Premier 5, and 10 of them are actually trained with a senior panel there on Thursday evening there. You know, I wanted to think about, right, for the next cycle coming through, how can I support the next groups coming through to feel the way our lads did coming towards the senior sort of years. And with the booklets there, John, yes, there's a skill pathway element to it. There's a physical pathway, we call it super skills, basically. And within that page, there are targets that again, I've taken these from the likes of your terrace pathways and your pathways from, I'd say, a dozen different clubs and provinces there. And that's more, it's more to give hints of in the realm where players could be aiming to be at. It's not a one-shoe-fits-all by any stretch of imagination. Our coaches just want a bit of guidance, basically, and that's why they're there. And again, I feel parents also like that bit of guidance too. And I feel it'll take a wee bit of pressure off players, because the likes of your James or your Sheila, whose mother or father's maybe out the back with them, shouting or bawling ahead of them because they can't solo and they can't score with their left and right foot. If they're seeing their, you know, right, if they're working in around these sort of levels. And I suppose it comes back to my teaching head there too. I know our parents love a bit of direction. My own son's in Primary 1 there, and a close friend of mine, his son's in the same class, and he turned around to me a few weeks ago, and he was telling us about he was getting led in this son because he couldn't count the 50 in Irish. And I was saying, look, he's relax, he's okay, look, he's fine, if he can count the 20, he's doing this. I was like, look, that's okay. In any other year, you'd have a curriculum meeting with the way schools are at the minute, you don't. And this is, again, to try and take a wee bit of pressure off kids and enlighten parents, give them a wee bit of background there. Look, these are wee things you could be working on at home. And backing up, right next door to the skill, sort of super skill section, John, is all games. So I give a list of games that the kids can practice with their parents at home. And after that, which is probably one of my favourite things in the entire booklet, is the area where kids create their own games. So there's an area called Games Bingo. And in the Games Bingo, literally, kids get as creative as they want with their parents. This week for Toxic from the Omi group, and it sounds so simple, and people probably only think of one way. Our kids are working on their first wee bingo square, and it is basically two people, one ball, thrown. So they have to create a thrown game, the two people and one ball. And I mean, you first thing, I'd say 90% of people thinking, they're picturing an adult, Jay, or a brother or sister, throwing a ball to each other and the next one catching. I did it with my lad, but when he got home, he was throwing it off the fence and my brother was catching it. He was throwing it between his legs. He was throwing those over his head. Within 10 minutes, I'd say 7 or 8 different ways of throwing a ball done. Mm-hmm. Throwing with one hand, throwing the other hand. And we have a wee station then on Saturday for our next practice session, John. And one of our stations basically will be an opportunity for the kids in their wee group. We're working on wee groups of 6er. And the wee group of 6er on the 7 station will have an opportunity to showcase their games that they've created. So straight away, at 5 years of age, kids don't feel that that's a coach, I'm a player. I listen to coach doesn't listen to me. The kids are actually going to lead games at 5 years of age. And you picture, John, that child under 7, under 9, you picture that child even at under 11, talking to their coach about a kick-out drill. Mm-hmm. You picture that kid at under 13 talking about an attacking formation or an attacking move, because creatively, their voice was heard when they were 5 years of age. And it may only have been a throw-in, as simple as one ball and two people. But how much is their wee men kicking over creatively at 5? And this'll happen week on week. And through the Googles, John, what I'm hoping eventually, when we get more out there, that our kids will be posting these on our Twitter page. The kids in Kilmacud Crokes will be posting. The kids in Austin Stacks will be posting. The kids in Corrifin will be posting. And the kids, no matter what county they're from, will be comparing themselves, the kids from other strongholds, and feeling, you know what? My game's every bit as good as Peter there down in Austin Stacks. My game is every bit as good as Lorgan's there down in St. Vincent's. And for me, if I can have children, and I mean this for every county out there, I'm referring to West Belfast because it's my own area and I believe so much in what BA can do for our kids. But see if that inferiority complex is wiped out from day one, where they feel my games that I'm creating are as good as, or I actually think they're better than the games that as I say, Peter's doing up there in Glenswilly. I think mine is actually better. And they're sharing that platform. To me, that is powerful. And picture them clubs even meeting. And for talk's sake, the clubs were then linking or meeting up each other and saying, you know, commenting on their, geez, that was a fantastic game there you did. You should be proud of yourself. I mean, how a child would feel, how that parent would feel, spending that wee bit of time in the garden working on those games. Because there's no eyes on them, you know. The setting where you're in the club where it can be a wee bit overwhelming or a wee bit dull. No one's back garden, no one's play part is overwhelming. So the parent, I mean, I'm thinking of our parents next Saturday, John, and they're sitting watching their child deliver to the other children a game that they were working on with them in the garden, and straight away they're bought in. And hopefully that's the start of a journey of them saying, I'm a part of this. I mightn't have all the background, I mightn't have my Celtic cross, but you know what? I have a massive role to play here.
Why is the ownership so important to you, Michael Jordan? Where was it? Is it because your club's from West Belfast and that, and you know, Antrim? Mm-hmm. Is that you know where this ownership, you can see it, you know, whenever you're talking there, that how passionate you are, that you know, this is ours, you know, we're going to create these kids that are going to question things, they're going to take ownership of their decisions and, you know, to improve Gaelic games in your area.
You have to, John. Honest to God, I know it's a very simple answer. I think you have to. I mean, even me myself, I didn't want to publicize this booklet. I didn't I didn't feel comfortable publicizing it. I didn't feel comfortable, not for a reason that I didn't want to share. I'd share any resource. If any club wanted me to work on anything with them, if any club said, look, what worked well for you, are we under five the weekend? I mean, in the morning, I'd drive down the road and I'd be honored to do so. It wasn't a case of sharing. And I'm not saying this is a case for everyone in West Belfast, but I'd say certainly I'd feed them for you. I've equated myself when you're looking up to it. I mean, I travel a country, so do John, attending coaching courses and workshops and that. But I suppose the biggest achievement for me was I captained Massey to second place in Division 3 Adam to get promoted to Division 2. That was it. To me, as a coach, I feel like I've gained so much more. And I've had to show our lads all the way through that they're as good as anyone. I took our wee group to play Cross McGlen, to play Burn, to play Valley, to play St. Vincent's. And all those games were competitive because I never let our lads for 1 minute feel inferior to anyone. I had to bring GA to them because I knew other ways it wouldn't happen. We went on the road every other weekend, traveling the country basically to bring GA to them, because I knew within the county they were sort of self-contained, you know. They needed to see there was another world out there, that there were other people where this really can be one of the biggest and most beneficial areas of your life. They didn't see that in their own friendship groups. I was speaking with Al McCoy at the start of the sort of launch from the Gaelic Life. And I've done a wee bit of an interview. And I suppose that the way I sort of finished it up now was that last year we got beaten at the semi-final, the All-County, by Cargan, who went on to win it, so they did. And we went toe-to-toe them for 53 minutes in the game. But I didn't care, John, because 2 nights before the game, we were walking in the local community centre. And on our way in the community centre, there was basically a group of lads and girls partaking in God knows what, underage drinking, their e-cigarettes and whatever else. And most of our lads knew them. And most of our lads were waving to them, they were nodding the head to them. But they weren't going left, John. They were going right. And they were going straight in the community centre. And we didn't really speak too much about Cargan that night, 2 nights before. You know, probably should have done a wee bit more talk and tactics and this, that and the other. But we talked about, because to me, I had a lump in my throat walking in with the lads that evening. What we talked about was what GA meant to them and what our club meant to them and how it influenced them. And I don't want to share too much about what they said because it was a pretty sort of meeting there. But all I can say is, John, see, when I came out of that meeting, I honestly couldn't occur what happened on Thursday. And the day of the battle, they were level right up to the 53rd minute. I knew that we had achieved at that point what we'd set out to do.
How hard was it to separate yourself from the end result, Michael Jarre, the holistic point of view, like, you know, the stuff that, yes, you know, you read about in books and that there, and you know, you see the young people grow as people and you know, but you know, you as a coach, you know, you still have that end goal of we need to create winners, like, you know.
Absolutely, John. Look, absolutely. And I think anyone who says otherwise is either a liar or they're kidding themselves. Look, I want to win as much as the next man and the next woman. Our lads did the same. For me, and it's taken me a load of years to learn. I mean, there'll be years there, and I dare say there's any coaches out there who hasn't behaved in the lane and been in the heat of the moment and behaved in ways they're not proud of. I mean, I dare say even Jim Gavin, as compulsive as he is, doesn't regret maybe once or twice on the lane the way he's behaved, you know, and he's calmness personified. For me, to be honest with you, John, it's those wee nuggets. Those nuggets. I had a lad phone me, I'll not mention his name, I had a lad from that group, and I was to take a year off this year, said you'd start. I promised my wife, look, I'll take a wee year out here. I'm sort of working these wee booklets, and I'm going to be taking our Ayrlis wee under five team. I'll be the head coach of that, I'll lead coach of that, and that'll do me. And look, I couldn't let these boys go. These under 20 lads were such a difficult year. They're maybe just not ready for the senior group yet, but we don't want to lose them. We don't want them. And the fact we had that 6-7 month break, you would lose them quite easily, John, because they've been away from the club and worked so hard to keep them. So that's the under 20s. But he phoned me up there after sizing them on Wednesday. And he turned around and he says, you know, he says, just want to thank you and the other coaches there and the team. I'm in the best place I've ever been in my life. And he says, you know, and this might sound a bit dramatic, he says, you saved my life. And I hope I'm not coming across and anyone feeds him. I'm sort of using this point here, John, because I think it's an important one. I hope it's an important one to make. This is a fella like so many other fellas and girl, young girls out there who went through a wild, hard pain, made a mistake, and social media went in the overdrive. And where when you and I were maybe younger, our group of friends or another group of friends maybe give you a hard time for an hour or two, and you went home and it was forgot about the next day. The kid of maybe a thousand people portraying on social media and out there. Mm-hmm. And all we did basically was, you know, met up, had a cup of coffee, sat in his house, had a cup of tea, went out for a few walks and got the head cleared. And the boys in the team rallied around him. And we got him out of that wee hole. And where again, keeps him down one path with a certain group of people. When I was talking to him on Wednesday, he says, you know what? I know now where I'm going. And I've got to focus on that. And it took me sort of to hit that spot and appreciate who real people are and who's really there for you and who's there for their own interests and think you're laughing, you're doing X, Y, and Z, and who really cares about you. And see when you hear a child, and he's a child, I know he's 18, he's still a child in my head. I've known him from he's a young lad. See, when you hear someone talk like that there, see any feelings that you had around regrets around winning and being upset about not getting over the line and that there. They're all eradicated. They're all wiped out very quickly. I mean, that wee group, John, buried two of their friends. They buried two of their friends. I'd say five of that group's parents went through severe divorces. I mean, real bad, messy divorces. With one lad there was put out of three different schools. He's a non-school goer, and with a few other lads there just without different behaviour issues. And 22 of those lads, we probably peaked at maybe 25 lads. 22 of those lads lined out against Cardiff in the semi-final last year, you know. And for me, it's taken me a while to get to the point where you really appreciate that, John. It's probably taken me to get them to this age group that you really appreciate what's important on you. So many people have said in the past, they'll not remember what drills you did, they'll not remember what games you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. Mm-hmm. And see if I've made our lads feel that Gaelic games are important, and that ourselves as coaches, whether we've still got them or not, are always going to be there for them. See the fact that I know that every lad in that group could still pick the phone up to me at any time, be it 30, 40 years, be it 2 in the morning, be it Saturday night, and feel comfortable enough to share a conversation with me. I dare say at least half that team at some point spoke to me around their emotional well-being, not just me or the other coaches. And that's just something that's happening enough, John. And through these booklets, everyone's talking openly about their feelings from day one. That is huge. And that's parents talking to their children about their feelings. That's coaches talking to players about their feelings. Players and people feeling that my feelings actually matter here. And not just asking me, but they're actually doing something about it when I tell them that. To me, I know there's a generation there, and I suppose there's a country we grew up in where feelings weren't spoken about. And, you know, my father probably be the first person to admit that too. It's just, you know, you're on it, and that's it. We're slowly learning that it's huge to talk, and it's huge to have pillars of strength there. I'm so fortunate of so many in my life, but I know there's so many others out there in my own wee class and school, and so many other lads have coached and girls have coached through the years, and they don't have that. So if these booklets can build or create a few more pillars there for them, then by God, I want them in every club in the country, to be honest.
So you forget that you know, Gaelic Games is an outlet for so many people because, you know, your experiences, like, you know, I come from a small village in South Down where, you know, we wouldn't have these problems and that. And then listen to yourself, you know, we put a lot of emphasis into winning underage, thinking that would be sustainable for us to be champions then of you know, at senior level. Now it definitely didn't work out that way. You know, actually one of the lads put up a picture of the team that won Ulster, a minor team that won Ulster, and I think there was only three or four fellas went on to have good careers at you know, the club level. So, you know, there's different ways. I just think, you know, that as you said, the identity and the ownership, I think the village or the club have to merge as one, you know, the community. Because if you have, you know, if they're pulling at a player, you're never going to sustain any success at all if the community's not behind the club.
Absolutely, John. Look, obviously, our own areas, you know, very different to your own there. But in urban areas, I feel it is of the utmost importance that we, as many kids as possible. I mean, I look at my own club like an extended family. That's the way our lads would have spoken about each other. They'd have spoken about the club like an extended family, and literally like fellow brothers. And all day you hear different movies and different things with that parents being used with it. But those lads genuinely trust one another on the pitch because they trust upon one another off the pitch. We learn from defeats, you know, we learn about our own character. We always use them as a learning experience. We never looked at defeats as failures. Just like in life, every single one of us in the squad went through different challenges and areas where we felt that there were certain defeats, but we never let them keep us down. We just looked at them as learning experience, and that resilience sort of grew in them and built up within them. And as I say, that really has been nurtured from early on. I mean, if every team in every county in the country, you know, sort of set out their stall that, you know, unless you win an All-Ireland, that your year's class is a failure. I mean, I don't think we'd have many counties still playing. You know, I don't know, with different divisions and, you know, with different competitions and that there, but as I say, don't take anything for granted there, John. I go out to win every game. I go out and our lads go out as best prepared as it can be. And again, the younger squads coming through, the younger ages will all be about development and game time. I mean, right up until you're hitting your under 13s, under 15s, to be honest with you, for me, it'll be given as many children as possible, as much game time as possible. People may be laughing at, you know.
Yeah, but how is Gaelfast being received, Megajarda, and Antrim football at the minute? Where is it? And you know, is there structures in place now to obviously casements? There's talk of redevelopment. How important is that for Antrim football?
Huge. Look, both are absolutely massive there, Joe. I suppose people always love bringing up the Dublin sort of comparison there, but it is true. When you look at the number of employed coaches in Dublin, I mean, I think it's up as high as 60 there at the minute, maybe slightly lower. And you compare that to Antrim up until Gaelfast there, we maybe had two full-time employed coaches. And when you think of the size of Belfast, never mind the entire county there, I mean, no, you could have the most impressive, has the quality coaches in the world there, but no one could make a significant difference there with that sort of manpower. Now, with Gaelfast there, with maybe five or six further coaches employed, and they're doing fantastic work. But again, this is gonna take time. Just as Dublin saw as well, you know, these things take time, and it's difficult. You know, even the likes of yourselves and down there, John, you know, is there speaking in recent history there, you know, right up as recently as 2010 there, where you were in the All-Ireland final. I mean, how far back have we gone for Antrim there? You know, you're maybe looking at the Ulster final against Tyrone there when Baker was in charge. Most young lads wouldn't even know that there, you know, and most young girls wouldn't know of it. It's hard when you're coming from, say, a lot of backgrounds here where GAA isn't the topic of discussion at home. You know, the Sunday game isn't on a Sunday. I don't want to use other sports as a distraction, but, you know, they're a lot more popular, you know, if that makes sense. You know, yeah. for a young lad or a young girl, I mean, it's much more accessible to them, for want of a better word. They're watching these stars on TV, and maybe the parents have them on television. You really need to work so much harder to make Gaelic games at the forefront and their primary sport. But it's not for want of trend, and I definitely see a massive wave of change coming through. It's just, I suppose, and it's similar to most clubs, how you continue that from underage right through to the senior level there, John. You know, if we all had the magic answer there, would be millionaires, you know. But Antrim's definitely going the right direction. Case and Park, as you alluded to, also there. I mean, I don't really know how to comment on it at the minute, because every time I seem to find a wee shoot of hope there, you hear nothing for another year. You know, you hear about, yes, the plans went through another stage, fantastic. You keep hearing these wee, you know, being filtered wee inches of information here, but really, until I see the diggers, I live around the corner, so I do. I live in Andersonstown myself, around the corner, but until I see the diggers driving in, it's only them and I'll believe it. My school team, actually, were one of the last teams to play, and they played their last wee school's final. They lost a penalty in injury time, so they did. But that was, I think, the second last game ever we played on. And the thing just that still strikes me, John, is that so many other wee teams could have been playing in Encasement over the past, I mean, how long we're talking? It must be 7-8 years now. I just don't know what was closed and shut down and left to rot, basically, when, as I say, for the past 6-7 years there, kids could have been, you know, there would have been conveyor belts of players. I remember myself playing even in the wee Antrim schools against Dublin. And it's something that always stands by, you know, having a photo, it's up in the parents' house, a wee photo there of you playing in Casement Park. And me young lads, they, when we'd be walking around the corner for an ice creamer that day, they'd actually be poking the wee heads down under the placards to try and get a juke in the pitch and see, try and explain to your sons, look, you know, that's where Antrim playing. They're sort of looking at you, you know, what that field, that rotten area. I mean, the difference it'll make when you have a state-of-the-art statement there, and the children of West Belfast and beyond and Antrim walking past that and saying, what? Jeez, I want to play there. I'm going to do what I can with my club to try. And when you're bringing the likes of your juvenile championship finals and that at every level, you know, your C and your B and that there, that's really going to be a huge boost, huge, huge boost, John. But as I say, it's hard to comment because it's hard to know exactly where you're at with it, because there's just we
I know, fingers crossed, like we get there, because, you know, it's, I play school games not there. It's just magical place. But like, George, just finishing off, I've got my lad started playing nursery football there. He's three, he's got a wee bit to go yet for understand. But what advice would you give the likes of myself, you know, that maybe, you know, just a new parent in the area? It's along Stonemark Jones, the coach. You know, it's great to see, you know, so many kids out at all the clubs, like doing the wee nursery things. But, you know, growing up then, you know, what advice is it for me to stay back and say nothing, or just to encourage, or, you know, as you said, like, you don't want to be getting too much pressure on them so young and out there. So what advice would you give to parents whose children are starting Gaelic games?
Well, John, and this is a word I'm absolutely massive on. It's the word cred, and it translates belief. For your child to know you care about them and you believe in them, no matter what, that to me is the biggest thing you can do. That they know, whether or not they've made a few mistakes on the pitch or they've had a stormer, that it's irrelevant to you. Just seeing them out in the field, playing ball or playing hurling, means everything to you, because I can genuinely say that for my kids. If my boys are still involved in daily games, be it as coaches, be it playing for the thirds, be it just going and watching games for me, I'd be the happiest man out there, just to be able to share that bond with them and have that relationship with them. For me, see, no matter what children do, Gaelic games is my sport. Gaelic games is a sport. It's my biggest passion. It's the thing I believe in most. And I suppose that's why I put so much time and effort into these bookups. And to be honest, only for the persuasion of Philip Kerr and Owen Mooney, they would be on a Word document on my computer and hand it out to the kids in my club on Microsoft Word. That's my under five group 2 weeks ago would have been handed a Word document of them. And really, it was only, I was an hour and 20 minutes on the phone to Owen Mooney. And he kept probing, because I kept speaking, talking myself down, going, you know, I don't want to get something out there, you know, on the legs of your style. You know, take this here, you put it out there, you know, you're known for best practice. And he kept saying, but this is best practice. Why aren't you hearing me, mate? Why aren't you hearing me here? This is an example of best practice. You've shown it to Philip Kerr. You've shown it that they named 3-4 other coaches, because I didn't believe it ever myself, John. You know, it took going. And he says, but what's important about this? Why is this so important to you? I said, and he kept badgering. I was like, I don't know. He said, why? I said, just occur. And I was shouting on the phone. It was occur, that's why. Occur. He says, that's it. He says, you know what? I know that. He says, I don't know you. We've exchanged emails. We've talked over, you know, WhatsApp and that. He says, I know, haven't spoken to you in this, are you, Kerr? And he says, that's the biggest thing that these bookups are going to do for others. Mm-hmm. Because you're not just talking about you, Kerr. You want other people, and not just a coach or a club or a Kerr or a Che. You want all four, Kerr. Because when that Che feeds it, the coach cares about them, their parents care about them, and if an entire club and community care about them, that to me is a winning ticket. Mm-hmm. Because I know certain people must feed in this world, John, that no one cares about them. I know they must feed. And see for that, see the amount of fantastic relationships that can be created through Gaelic games. To me, I can think of no other organization in the world that can create that. And that for me, that's the biggest thing to take away from it. Show the kids you care. Put the phone away for an hour when you're watching their sessions. Go home and let them show you games. That's the biggest thing my boys love. I fire out a few hoops, I fire out a load of footballs, the remote control car, bubble mix, you name it, balloons. And I say, lads, make up a game. And we do that as many times we can in a week. I'm going to take them to the playground, local playground, they're making up games, been down the sled catching balls, trying to kick a ball between the swings, doing tie, you know. That doesn't need to be, that's not Gaelic games coaching there. That's not training. That's just having fun. And that's using fire, interacting, the creativity, the bond. And the boys literally, they come to take their mother's hand, they take her by the hand, they take their grandma by the hand out the back. Come on, see the game, my mate. Come on, see the game. I tell you what, John, there's no losing, there's no winning there. It's just enjoyment, it's love, and it's you, Sean. I care about what you're showing me.
Because I think I'm in danger of being that parent that's not, I think it's subconscious now that I'll try and be the silent one, like, but I suppose it's you know, it's it's going to be tough because I've younger brothers not there as well, and I wouldn't have been short in telling them what I felt whenever they were playing football. So with the young lad, like, it's going to be tough. But you know, as you say, these booklets will help, you know, get that across. And I suppose
being said it, John, sorry to overcut.
Yes, no.
See, no, just a point in saying it. I think at times that people are a bit misled when they hear about the said and sideline and that too. I mean, see Annie Jay's face when they make a good tackle, when they get a great score, and they hear you as a parent's voice and they see in your face, brilliant, absolutely unreal. And even you know, as a coach too, there is nothing I love more. I've been able to, I run on the pitch half a time, pretend I'm giving the water, and I give them a big stop at the back. Unbelievable. See that tackle? Incredible. They're 10 feet high. The sailing lanes to me, and everyone has a different reading of it, it's letting them learn, letting them play the game, as opposed to barking instructions every day.
Yeah.
John, get over there, he's free, look over you.
Yeah.
And I gave him, and I've made a mistake off there. You know, to me, that's where it comes in. But I think a lot of people read it and see, I suppose, that emoji where, you know, it's pray me one finger's on the mouth. Mm-hmm. To me, I think it's a wee bit misleading in that regard, but there's nothing anyone loves more. I don't care whether you're 5 years of age or you're a senior footballer or senior hurler or camogue. See someone when you've made a good catch out, a pluck one from the sky, hit the onion bag, made an unreal tackle. There's nothing, the buzz you get here in that crowd, and if you can home in on certain important people in your life, there's nothing that beats that buzz when you hear that. So silence all well and good, but you know, there's always space for that.
Yeah. And I suppose, thank God, whenever I was coaching the young team in Australia, we took them from under 12s, 14s, 16s and minors. There was no WhatsApp, so the parents, I can just imagine, though, I don't know how I would deal with that, you know, the some of the WhatsApp messages and that there, like, it must be a lot of pressure for coaches as well, you know, to have that interaction so quick with, say you've got an angry parent, maybe, and they regret sending the message, you know, because it is so instantaneous.
Absolutely, and I suppose, and you probably think I'm always relating back to the Fugits, but...
No. That's what you're on for.
I basically, there's areas there where it would be an end-of-year review for Toxic John, and the coach would jot down points, and the parent would jot down points.
Right.
But I'd be a wee bit clever in it, where I would sort of start off the sentence for him and write things like, I absolutely loved how you really made me smile when... One thing I feel you could improve on for next year is, so almost prepping them on the sort of angles we want to take when we're talking to the children, the sort of feedback we're looking for ourselves. But maybe back to a wee point I made at the start there too, I genuinely, and I find the same in school there too, I feel when a parent feels that they're being heard and feels the value of your coaching and they don't feel that you're just there for your own benefit. For me, for Toxic sake as a parent, if I felt the coach there was a win at all costs, right as young at under 7 for Toxic and under 9, yes, maybe angry wouldn't be the right word, but I would certainly be questioning the approach. And I would be questioning basically where my son would fit in with their project and be asking basically, you know, if they felt that, you know, if it was the right sort of environment for them, you know, if they didn't feel they were up to what they perceived as being success, that you know, maybe it isn't the right environment for them. And that may be the case for certain parents out there on the flip side who feel, look, I want my son or daughter, win at all costs. I want, you know, we James and Sally should have been starting that game. They bagged 3 and training last week, you know, and you're always going to come across them parents too. But for me, if they can't understand what I'm trying to do and what my club's trying to do, because I have the backing on a club, John, that's the difference. And through, I suppose, my role as coaching officer this year, I have coaches bought into that way of thinking.
Was there anyone questioning your ethos or your thinking?
With very little resistance. Very, very little resistance. And I suppose one of the individuals who I felt would have been one of the most resistant is actually heading sort of the coaching operations above me. So he's there with an ex-chairman of herself sort of overseeing what I'm doing. I'd sort of come back to them with certain ideas and that. And he basically questioned everything I was doing, but not in a negative way.
He wanted to
know I was prepared for any opposition that was coming. Yeah. And I knew once I'd won him round, and he was blown away by the end. And I knew once I got to that stage, look, we're getting somewhere here. And I think it's how you speak to people, John. That as long as you're not coming across as someone who feels, like, I know it all here, you know, I've all the answers, sure. I'm an old teacher, you know, I do this day and daily. I think as long as everybody feels part of your pathway and everyone can see sense on what you can do. And we're all going to make mistakes, you know. There will be days that maybe, you know, a chain didn't get on when they should have. But it's how they approach that. If I turn around that chain and say, you know, we think you're not good enough, so that's why you didn't play that game. But if they turn around and say that, Che, God, you know, next game you're going to start, or next game I guarantee you're going to get a half, and that Che's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's how you're dealing with these wee situations, John, and me, that's huge, you know.
And see with the booklets then, Michael George. So what, yeah, are they available to buy? Are they available for clubs to implement? How do they go about it? It's live, learn, love, Gaelic Games. I must say, you know, you sent me through the PDF, and the one bit that stands out for me that I loved was the superpowers. Obviously, my wee man's modern day Avengers. So yeah, I was asking him then, you know, what superpower, at least a Flash or something like that, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, yes. It's a brilliant way of interacting with the kids, getting them, you know, what they can recognize as well. So what is the deal with the booklets then?
Yeah, basically there's two main ways there, John, with a website set up, and it's www.livelearnlovegaelicgames.com, and booklets can be purchased through that website. And again, depending on how personalized the club want it to be, they can have a badge on it, or they can have the entire front cover with a club badge and the cartoons of a club jersey, or indeed the entire booklet full of cartoons with their club jersey on it. They can select those different options through the website itself, or they can contact me via email on livelearnlovegaelicgames@outlook.com and get in touch with me. Aside from that, there through Twitter, you can drop me a DM there. We're on the handle livelearnlovegg. And basically, I'm happy using any one of those platforms to converse with people and have a conversation. And indeed, to be honest with you, over the past few weeks, I've been really, really humbled by how well I've been received. I mean, we've actually produced last week there a document for the Asian County Board. So we're actually going to have our booklet over in Asia in eight or nine different countries in Asia, which for me, to talk to kids in West Belfast and say, here's a resource that from a little known club, from a little known person, has made all its way to Asia, and we're actually talking. I'm not sure if you know Joe Toland there. He'd be over Asia County border. He's actually talking to me about trying to get it translated into Chinese and Japanese. If you were to tell me that when I was taping together a word sort of document a few months ago, John, I literally would have hung up the call here. I thought it was a prank, you know. So it's really humbling for myself to feel that you don't need to be an inter-county manager. You don't need to be someone who's played at the highest level. That if you have a product there or a booklet there that people feel can really make a difference, that suppose your experiences can be every bit as valuable as your reputation, and that's been, I suppose, the most humbling thing of all, John, you know.
Yeah, I think it's major, you know, fantastic that you come on the show. We'll put up the handles for you out there as well, so that people get in contact. You know, I love when people come up with ideas and then have the cojones to go through with it. So fair play to you, like, you know, as I say, whenever I was doing the podcast, it's not all about county managers and you know what they've done. It's about the troops on the ground as well that are making a difference. So fair play to you, and you know, talking, be listening, do you speak, you know, you're going to go a long way. You know, it's fantastic, fantastic.
It's not about me, for me, and again, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. It's not about me going a long way, and I genuinely mean.
Oh, no, I hate the fact
I even had to put my name to the booklet. Like, I mean, for me, I just want as many kids out there as possible. If I feel our booklets can bring a family closer together, if a family can get the joy out of Gaelic Games the way mine has, if certain lads and girls are have a deeper relationship with their coaches and their teammates, where they can pick up the phone and have a conversation down the later years because of conversations they had from the day he joined the club. See, if that can happen, I'd be the happiest man in this world. And the last wee thing, I always say, if my wee sons, if they ever were a game in Croke Park or were headed for a holiday down in Kerry or anywhere for that matter, and they were to see another Chegg using the booklet at that game, and for them to turn around and see games, because see some of the games in it, John, literally they've made them up in the back garden. I've used the brains of a 5-year-old and 3-year-old there to make sure, no word of a lie. For them, to see something they helped put together in use in another county, that's when you spoke about Antrim being out there, and that to me is where my boys are going to say,
yeah.
I may be from Antrim, and I may be playing Division 4 football this year, but you know what? My main's as good as anywhere else, and there's actually kids here, and maybe your heartlands of Gaelic games who are learning from me, and that to me is just golden. It's absolutely golden. So it's been an absolute privilege, John. So I really can't thank you enough
I really enjoyed it, Michael Jordan, all the best with the booklet. And as I say, we'll put up the information for everyone to get in touch. We're running the coaching series for just a couple more episodes, maybe just we're getting ready for the National League. Obviously, the county football's taken over for a wee while, and then we're back in the club football up here in the north. So we'll keep it going with the wee coaching series for a couple more, and hopefully people can learn something from it, because I know I'm learning, so it's great for me.
Same as that, John. Absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for all your.
Not a problem, and we'll be in touch then anyway and see how you're getting on in the future.
Absolutely. I'll send you a Japanese copy.
Be probably better than me Irish.
The Irish one's actually going to be done in a month or two, so there you have
brilliant.
Brilliant.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
Have a lovely evening.
You too.